the Holy Spirit. I believe personally that there is one baptism, but many fillings or refilling if you're Pentecostal. I also want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is not based on speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe it's part of what God wants to do in our lives. Jesus said, you will speak with other languages. I'm not putting down tongues. I'm just saying for some people, they get turned off because it's about tongues, or they hear it's about tongues. It's not about tongues. The Holy Spirit is about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's about glorifying Jesus.
Amen.
But I do believe with all my heart that we need to be filled or refilled or constantly filled by the presence of God. Somebody asked D.L. Moody, why do you pray in the Spirit so much? He says, because I leak. And when you're ministering to people, when you're witnessing to people, when you're working with people, when you're going through a hard time, when you're going through a sickness, there are times that you just need to stop and say, Lord, just give me a refreshing. And so, Jesus, before he left, taught a lot on the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24:49, he says, but I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want to stay there until you be clothed or endued with power from on high. I believe trying to live the Christian life without flowing in the Holy Spirit is like to go into war with no bullets. We come to a place where this day, this time, I am totally dependent on the Holy Spirit leading and teaching and guiding and even making me aware, don't go down that path, don't go down this path, go this way. I'm totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. Everything we have from God has been dependent on what Christ did and the Holy Spirit glorifying Christ for what he did. And so this morning, I've got two or three little things I'm going to go over with you. And thank God Pittsburgh don't play till tonight, so you're no panic. But let's go, Pittsburgh. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 6. Acts chapter 1, verse number 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And so he stopped there, and the subject goes on. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So he says, you are going to receive power to be a witness. Now it's kind of interesting that that word is used because the Greek word means martyr. How many want to be a martyr? So that thing that's going on in our lives through the Holy Spirit is empowering us. And keep in mind, you're not a witness unto people. How many have ever been afraid to witness somebody? You're not a witness to them. Jesus said, you're going to be a witness to me. What we are doing and how we're doing it and how we minister and where we're going and what we're saying, we're doing it unto Jesus. The unbelievers just get to listen. With the effect of the Holy Spirit taking those words, because when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict of sin, right? And he will make the unbeliever aware of their sin and make them aware that Jesus Christ is the only answer. I want us to understand something. There are not a whole bunch of answers to the world situation. And the answer's not found in Washington, D.C. The answer's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can thank God for what he wants to do in America, but we're on the edge of what he's doing, and we need to lead what he's doing and get involved in what he's doing and tell people what he's doing, and he's doing it for them outside the body of Christ. He's doing it in us, but he's doing it for the people. Now I challenge you. God has equipped his body to do the last days ministry. And I don't know, I haven't met anybody that says it's not the last days. Of course, you realize the last days started in Acts chapter 2.
That's true.
It's not something new. It's been going on for a long time. This is that which the prophet Joel spoke. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Hey, and on my maidens, I will pour out my spirit. If you read the whole chapter of chapter 2, you'll see where Peter's preaching that, because what went on here is a fulfillment of Acts chapter 2. And so we come to a place where I want to show you some things. And I just pray that I can do it right. I know you're mature enough to accept it. I know you're open to it. But there are some things that we just need to look at, because if we're honest, the body of Christ is made up of people. And wherever there's people, there's issues. Except here this morning. You're so great. I know there's nothing, no issues here. Yeah, okay. Number one, and we're going to close with power, so don't think I forgot about the power. There is a power in the Holy Spirit. As we said on Wednesday night, though, Christians are not supposed to follow signs. Signs follow Christians.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Angie. And the Holy Spirit gives us the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that sounds like a pretty simple statement. But when we start breaking that down, there are some things we need to look at. And I'll show you what Jesus had to say in a few moments. The character of the Christian is not a discipline so you live by the law. Boy, that's a good place you could say it, amen. I'm going to say it again. The fruit of the Spirit and godly character is not so that you can live by the discipline of the Jewish law. It's so that we walk in the character of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We live and we walk in the attitude and the integrity that God has given us. Turn with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Now keep in mind, I didn't tell you to go out and break the law, okay? I didn't tell you that. John 7:37 says this. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, just take that at face value. It's pretty exceptional. But how many of us are aware of what Jesus taught about the heart? Okay, get under your chairs. Here it comes. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And I'm going to say something, because at that time, out of people's hearts were flowing other things. So what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, it changes our heart condition from a character that represents the world to the character that represents God. Amen. And somehow we miss that. Somehow we think and we look at and we walk it out that, well, if I got the Holy Spirit, then everything is okay. I'm on my way. The Holy Spirit is a beginning part. Just like accepting Christ is beginning, we grow and we mature and we grow up in the Holy Spirit, where our lives absolutely resemble Jesus Christ. Okay. Out of your innermost being will flow what?
Rivers.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a spring or are you a pump? You say, what are you talking about? How many have ever had a pump at home that you had to prime and that you had to pump? See, I had to work. I had to carry wood in. What a tough job. I had to prime the pump, carry water in. We had these little electric heater things we put in the water so we could take a bath. Man, my life was a mess. I had to take the bath last. So, you know, life was rough. Matthew chapter 15. I want to show you something. Let's look at verse number 8, and we'll read a little bit. I want you to see this. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but what? Their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard about this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if they blind leads the blind, both will fall in the ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Okay? And Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" We understand that, don't we? Okay, I don't have to explain that. We get it? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat unwashed hands does not defile a man. So there's going to be a transaction. There's going to be a change when the Holy Spirit comes in and takes control of our life And that transaction is simply that we give up all the junk in our hearts and he fills our hearts with him. Not a bad trade. And so how many people have made up their mind, well, I'm not going to lose my temper anymore. I'm not going to swear anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. You can't do that. You can't make a New Year's resolution and think that everything's going to change. You come to a place where the Holy Spirit comes into our life and he changes the heart. And so I'm no longer mean and ornery and ugly like I used to be. And so what happens is all the devil's junk that have been poured into our lives through years and years and years of unhealthy relationships, of child abuse, of molestation, of rape, of all the things that happen that we build up on, of people being mean and people saying evil things about us and doing evil things to us, and don't tell me they don't affect your life, because they do. And in the natural, you have a reason for the way you are, okay? And you're looking at me and say, what do you mean, the way we are? We are perfect. So in the natural, you're living a life that is totally natural. But in the spirit, when you come to Christ and you meet the Holy Spirit and the sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus, and there's a change that's taken place, there's something that happens that if you will allow, God will clean out the cesspool that was put into your heart by other people and other situations and other times. And all that stuff comes out and you're free.
Amen.
You're free. Because we become a product of our environment. You say, what does that mean? I don't know, but it sounded good. The way we were raised, the things that happened to us, what we went through as children and teens and older, take hold in our lives, and suddenly we developed a concept and a principle of us that's not healthy. And so you look at yourself, well, I'm just worthless. Who told you that? Well, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't learn. Who told you that? Who are you listening to? And so we go through all this stuff, and what happens? I'm not against psychologists. I'm not against counselors. I'm not putting them down. They help people. But what really begins to happen is that the enemy builds up strongholds in our heads. And we start accepting some of the stuff that we've been told. And we start living that way. We start acting that way. We start walking it out. And what happens? When we have a Holy Spirit encounter, suddenly there's a freedom. There's a peace. Doesn't mean I'm never attacked again. Doesn't mean that Satan doesn't lie to me again. Doesn't mean that everything changes. It just means that suddenly God has control of my life. And what is he telling me? You are loved. You are accepted. You have value. I honor you. I recognize who you are. And I hold nothing against you. What a difference. And so the Holy Spirit takes out all the gunk and starts filling us with the love of Christ. And you know what else happens? Your words change. Your words change. Yeah, maybe, you know, we can. Yeah, maybe at one time I was that, but now I'm free. Now I'm a child of God. Now I'm living in the Spirit. Now I'm walking with God. I have a new relationship. I have a new Father. I have someone who loves me. And boy, I don't need all that junk I gave up. I don't have to be that one I used to be, because now out of my innermost being is flowing a river of praise and worship and thanksgiving and glory to God and honor to people. Just raise your hands with me. Just for a moment. Just say, God, do it in my life. Just say, God, do it in my life now. God, just do it. There can be a major change. A major change. There can be a major change happening. There's a major acceptance of what God wants to do. Thank you, Lord. 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 And the second thing that begins to happen is God teaches us how to pray. God teaches us how to pray. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter, let's go to Acts chapter 4 first. And I'll come back to this later, but I just want to show you this. And I believe these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, many of them on the day of Pentecost, okay? So what I was saying about many fillings, many refillings, you call it whatever you want, I don't care. Just get the Holy Spirit. Just keep the Holy Spirit. Just keep him coming in. Because he comes in like a flood. The Bible says when the Spirit of God comes in like a flood, he'll lift up a standard against the enemy. Stand in that flood of the Holy Spirit. But here's what happens. The apostles were being threatened. They come back and in verse 29 of chapter 4 of Acts. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Lord, shake this place. We got 25 acres there, 28 acres that we need a new building on. Just pick us up and take us up there. But shake this place. What happened is they came back from the Sanhedrin. They weren't afraid. They weren't wetting their pants. They weren't concerned about the fear. They just said, God, give us boldness. Just give us boldness. They prayed to the Father. And how did the Father respond? By filling them with the Holy Spirit. Refilling them. And the result of being refilled, they suddenly said, hey, we can go through this. We can make it. It's not that bad. I don't care. It doesn't matter what people say. God, I'm on your side. Amen. And I've read the last chapter. I know who wins. I know who wins. Go with me to Acts or Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Now listen. All prayer in the Spirit is not necessarily praying in tongues. It can be praying in tongues, or it can be praying in English. Prayer in the Spirit is a spirit, is a prayer that's led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? You can pray in the Spirit and pray in English. It's okay. 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times that I come in here and sit in that second chair, it's kind of my prayer chair, and don't say a word. But yet when I'm done praying, and you say, well, you didn't pray. Holy Spirit prayed. And I feel such a closeness and a release with God. Yeah, there are times I talk. But there are times I just sit there. And what a refreshing time just to be in the presence of God. Because a lot of our prayers are like somebody talking on the phone. We call somebody, we ask them a question, for the next 10 minutes they're answering it, and by the time we want to say something, they hang up. Now I know you people are so good, you don't do that. And we do that with God. God, I have this need, I have this need, I have this need. I'm sorry, God, I got to go. And God is saying, hey, time out. I want to talk to you. I want to let you know how much I love you. I want to let you know I have your back. I want to let you know that I'm with you. I want to let you know that I'm walking this out with you. And I've already been there. I've already been through that situation. And I know how it ends. I sat here this morning. I said, God, here's the situation. You've been there already. You know how it ends. Please tell me. But God knows how to pray. You ever read the book of Jude? How many know there's a book of Jude in the Bible? Jude 20. Jude 20. Mark this one in your Bible. How many know what the word edify means? It means to build yourself up, okay? When you edify yourself, you're building yourself up. Here's what God put in here for us. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, look at me. How many of you, every time you pray, you have an agenda? How many of you would pray if you didn't have an agenda? At least a couple, three times a week, come before God with no agenda. And just allow him to refresh you. It's amazing, folks. God is not always looking for conversation. But God always wants the best for you. And so there are times, especially when don't know how to pray, don't know what to do, don't know how to handle this. I'm in that situation right now. But I just sit and say, okay, God, you got to work this out. And so we just allow him to work it out. And you know something? If we're patient enough, he does. And if we come to a place of saying, and I have to say this, God, you know how this needs to end, and you know what needs to happen, I'm following you. I'm going through it with you. The Holy Spirit and your prayers will build you up. You may look at a situation and said, there's no way I can get through that. But we build ourselves up as we sit in the presence of God, allowing him to communicate with us. I'm not saying don't communicate with God. I'm just saying at times listen. We okay?
Yes, sir.
You got time for one more? The Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus through the power that sets people free. Do you remember when John's disciples came to Jesus and said, John wants to know if you're the coming one or you're the Messiah or not? And Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, healed the lame, did everything that he could do, and now he says, go tell John what you've seen and heard. Okay. Here's what that's all about. The miracles, the power, the anointing is a demonstration to people how much God loves them. How much God loves them. It's just like when you have a word for somebody. The word is very important. I'm not minimizing that. But when you have a word for somebody, the main part of that word is, hey, I care for you from God. Who doesn't want to hear God saying, I care for you? I care about you. I care what you're going through. I care what's happening. I care how you feel. Second Corinthians. Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, listen to me for a moment, or a few moments. The kingdom of God must be demonstrated. Why do you think the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? Do you have enough joy within you that if you were in court, you'd be convicted? If you're on trial for having peace, would you be in the huskow? So I'm talking to a bunch of people with no joy and no peace and just righteousness. I'll take that. And so what we have is a demonstration of the love of Jesus through the signs and wonders and miracles. But those signs and wonders and miracles are fruitless if we're not walking in that love out of the heart. And so what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes in. He takes out the gunk. He takes out the junk. But he'll take it out. He fills us with his love, his joy, his peace, his long-suffering. Why can you tolerate some people? Why can you put up with them? Because you have love in your heart. And then he tells us, go and demonstrate it. You can demonstrate it by leading someone to me. You can demonstrate it by laying hands on someone. You can demonstrate it by casting out a demon. You can demonstrate it by raising the dead. God says, There are many ways to demonstrate my love to mankind. It's not all just cut and dry. There's an open door that I want you to walk through. Recognizing that he's still the authority. You see, Jesus never said in Matthew 28:19, all authority is given unto me and I give it to you. He didn't say that. He says, all authority is given unto me, now you go in my name. I give you the power of attorney to act in my name. So I give you the power of attorney to demonstrate the kingdom of God wherever you go and however it needs to be demonstrated. So what's the best gift of the fruit of the gifts of the Spirit? The one that's needed. And you say, well, I don't have them. Why not? Because you've been told you can only have one. All you get is one. Don't get selfish with these gifts. What? So I got the gift of healing and you need a miracle. I just say, I'm sorry. God never blessed me with that one. Suffer, buddy. It's your karma. I don't get it. Do you think when the Holy Spirit comes in, he impacts the other eight? It's just like if you get joy, you can't have peace because you only have one. The Bible tells us the kingdom of God is in power. Twice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The kingdom of God is in power. The kingdom of God is not in word only, but power. Why? Because there are people who need to see the power to know that God loves them. I close with this. The power of God is strong enough to change the will and the heart and the mind of any person on planet Earth. You may have somebody telling you, I don't want anything to do with that God. Just keep loving them. Don't have to keep preaching to them. Keep loving them. Well, I sure wouldn't go to that Christian outreach center. They're of the devil. Yeah? Sure have fun being of the devil, I guess. But you'll find out that if you're standing for Jesus Christ and you're walking in the Spirit, people think you have a fever. And they're going to give you some kind of devilish pill to take it. But walking in the Spirit was the norm of the church in Acts. It's the norm. And so what has happened is that many have gone so low in walking in the Spirit that when you get what God wants you to have, they think you're abnormal. Well, let's take abnormal then. Because when you're living in the Spirit, you're going to glorify Jesus. You're going to glorify Jesus. And my friends, he's worth every moment that we glorify him.